Evangelism Center, St. Louis, Missouri, USA. Reaching every nation with Bible salvation.
Tuning to Harvest Time today. What a joy it is to greet you in that name that is above every name. Recently we received a letter that says, to whom it may concern, I tuned into your program Sunday, November 2nd at 2:30 over WWDJ, that's Hackensack, New Jersey, reaching the New York City area. At the end of your program, you told the person who was thinking of committing suicide not to do that before it would only mean a Christ-lacking eternity in hell. Well, I am that person. Yes, I'm a Christian, and I am filled with the Holy Spirit. But as my life goes on, or anyone's for that matter, we all feel like giving up. I have wanted to throw in the towel for years now. However, God takes me back, and I pray. Perhaps God will someday help me to overcome this urge, but I thank you for intervening on that wonderful day when I heard Harvest Time. I wanted to write you just to let you know. You see, we never know to whom we're speaking. And today, no matter what your position and no matter where you are and what your great need may be, Jesus Christ cares for you. Sister Jean Erskine sings a wonderful song entitled, The Next Step.
Why worry about tomorrow? He could be blessed in your soul.
to assist harvest time with the great responsibility of reaching the world. Every week there are thousands of dollars needed to bring Harvest Time to many, many people. We would urge you to become a member of Harvest Time Home Church. The Harvest Time Home Church, or the Harvest Time Home concept, involves a family or a church family with $100 a month to the ministry of Harvest Time. This is not to enrich an individual. This is to reach the lost. It is our desire to reach out and reach people and bring them to the foot of the cross, where they can meet Jesus face to face and allow Him to make a dramatic change in their lives. Would you prayerfully consider this concept and this great love gift and this involvement in the work of God worldwide? We will rush you information if you will request it, or should you see that this is the thing that you should do, you would enclose your first month's check. We will send you a certificate enrolling you in the Harvest Time Home Church concept, and we will be thanking God that you care for the lost. Our mail address is Harvest Time, Box 215, St. Louis, Missouri, 63166, USA. We will look forward to hearing from you this week. The Harvest Time Chorale sings today, just before the Harvest Time sermon, their song, "There's Nobody Else Like Jesus."
Nobody else like Jesus. No one else can say, "I love you."
From God's wonderful word, your Harvest Time Radio minister, Nathaniel A. Urshan. God bless you, Brother Urshan.
There are two subjects in the Bible that you do not hear much about, when it comes to preaching from pulpits in this nation or around the world. The two subjects have to do with eternity. One happens to be about the matter of judgment or those who will be cast into hell. You hardly ever hear a message about hell from a pulpit today. I suppose because of the fact that people are so squeamish about it, and also because many who preach in the pulpit are afraid to declare themselves and to make any statements thereof. I know personally that it is not our task to tell people they are going to hell, but it is written in the Bible that there are those, because of the way they live and act, that choose the pathway that leads to the devastating judgment called Hades or hell. However, there is little preached about heaven. Strange as it may seem, there are three times as many scriptures in the Bible about hell as there is about heaven. But the things that are said about heaven are very interesting. In Psalm 15, David poses an important question. This was of pressing anxiety to the shepherd king, and certainly should weigh heavily in our minds today. Note the words, "Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Or who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. He that biteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, in whose eyes a vile person is condemned, but he honoreth them that doeth good and fear the Lord. He that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. He that putteth not out his money to usury, nor taketh reward against the innocent. He that doeth these things shall never be moved." Here in these very unique words is a portrait, a word portrait of the true citizen of Zion. The words tabernacle and a holy hill are figures of speech for Zion, the city of God. Note the description as given in Hebrews 12, verses 22 and 23. "But ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of men made perfect." Now let us be honest and take inventory of ourselves at this moment. Can you claim the citizenship to the city of God? Note the requisites so boldly set forth. "He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness, a truthful man both in thinking and speaking." This means a man who does this 7 days a week, not just during a church service. This citizen is no backbiter with a babbling, gossiping, slanderous tongue. His tongue speaks peace and goodwill to his fellow men. He treats his neighbor as he would like to be treated. He is free of cruel prejudice, and he loves the law, condemning the wrongful acts of those who are vile, but having a compassion of those for deliverance from themselves. He is sturdy and dependable with his possessions. The last statement says that if you find these virtues existing in your life, you are a possible solid citizen for the city of God. What David literally asks was, "Lord, who is going to heaven? Who will escape your judgment?" These qualities named are exemplified in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, God's Hall of Fame chapter. You will notice the mention of Abel, also Enoch, Noah, Abraham, and Sarah. Hebrews 11:13 declares, "These all died in faith and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims here on earth." Others named were Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, who forsook Egypt's rich kingdom, the harlot Rahab, and others who had trials of cruel mockings and scourgings, bonds, imprisonment, and stonings, and were slain by the sword. The world was not worthy of them, declares Hebrews 11:38. All these lives were lived by virtue of their faith and righteousness, as governed by the law of their respective dispensations. If you remember, the first age was known as the Age of Innocency. And then, of course, the Age of Innocency was adulterated by the sin of Adam and Eve. The following age was the age of human government. We notice the intervening condition of unrighteousness and sin and the judgment of God. Then we have the age of promise and the law given to Moses. The writer of the book of Hebrews heralds each faithful one as a citizen of a city. When we look back and consider, we marvel and bask in the inspiration of these faithful ones. But we are directed to a prophet named Joel, contemporary with Elisha, who proclaimed for the future a new badge or emblem of the New Testament church, or what we would call the latter-day citizen of heaven. Joel cried, "It shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions." Let us look again to the Word of God for the answer to David's query of the 15th Psalm. "Lord, who shall dwell in thy holy hill?" In the New Testament, the ministry of Jesus moved the world. It upset kingdoms and rulers. He astonished the sages, doctors, and lawyers. He rebuked the self-righteous. The wrath of the priests of the synagogues was upon him. He stirred them. Not only that, but the adherence to Moses' law was condemned by the Lord Jesus. The lowly Nazarene uprooted society, but to the oppressed he brought conditions of great and marvelous blessings. He brought sight to the blind, hearing to the deaf, and the crippled were made to walk. He brought healing and strength. He even resurrected the dead. All this shook and rocked the world. But then Jesus proclaimed, when they would have made him king, that his kingdom was not of this world. He spoke to them about the kingdom of heaven and its citizens. A rich young ruler, questioning as did David, asked, "How can I join up?" Ultimately, the Lord told him, "You must be a citizen of heaven." Jesus, during his ministry, laid the groundwork and foundation for his work and church. And he laid a foundation about born-again believers, faithful believers, citizens of heaven. If you will listen and you are alien to God's citizenry, you can be a citizen too. To be born again is to be enveloped and filled and thrilled by the Spirit of God as prophesied by the prophet Joel and experienced on the day of Pentecost as recorded in the book of Acts and expounded in the epistles. According to these scriptures, heaven's citizens are spirit-filled, baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and spiritually demonstrate the glory of their citizenship. Men are known as citizens of heaven because they walked in holiness, not because of Moses' law, but because they had become new creatures in Christ Jesus. They were known as citizens of heaven because their lives were changed as well as their speech. They lived as men seeking to please God and not men. Do you know that the New Testament actually makes an issue of the attributes of these born-again Christian citizens? The early church was instructed on levels of honesty, integrity, modest apparel, to exhibit the natural beauty of women rather than the wearing of gold. Paul called it the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit. The women were told that uncut hair was a magnificent banner of the glory of God. Last of all, these citizens were a people of hope. the hope of the return of the crucified one as their eternal king. In John 1, the first epistle of John 3:3, and every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. Jesus the Lord was rejected, crucified, buried, but he rose from the grave, ascended on high to heaven, leaving the promise of returning for his citizenry. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. In the light of present-day conditions, we know that we are on the verge of the coming of the Lord Jesus for those who shall abide in God's holy hill and tabernacle. The book of Revelation 21 speaks of that great day of God's citizenry in God's kingdom. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and be their God, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. He that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending. I will give unto him that thirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." My question to you today is, where are you and how are you living? Do you measure up to the Bible requisites? You should, by prayerfully studying his word and obeying and believing his precious truth today. Do as Isaiah declared, "Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow." And by making that kind of choice, you can become a citizen of that city of God, that great tabernacle of God, that hill of Zion. Moses left Egypt, counted all of Egypt's treasure as nothing, in order to look for the city whose builder and maker was God. Even today, as you carefully consider the information that I have given, the importance of your relationship to eternity into heaven, which has been prepared for you by the Lord Jesus. Remember, in order to get into that kingdom, you must be born again of the water and of the Spirit. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. This brings an opening into the kingdom of heaven. The key that the Apostle Peter used to bring heaven near to our lives. Then as you walk humbly with him and fulfill what the psalmist declared, "Who shall dwell in thy holy hill?" He brought this very close to us to make us understand the importance of what we should do in the way of our living. And notice, he tells us, "He that walketh uprightly, worketh righteousness, speaketh the truth in his heart. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, in whose eyes a vile person is condemned, but he honoreth them that doeth good and fear the Lord. He that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. He that putteth not out his money to usury, nor taketh his reward against the innocent. He that doeth these things shall never be moved." I would urge you today, wherever you hear this broadcast, take a look at your life. Look at the generation in which you live. A generation of deception. A generation of bondage. Alcoholism and drug addiction has grasped the lives of many. They are slaves of synthetic indulgence. What a sad picture. Consider your needs as you hear this broadcast today. Analyze your condition in the presence of God and get ready for the eternal city. For our God will come and he will come quickly. And when he comes, he is coming for a people that walk carefully before him. I urge you to obey the word of God, to hear the truth as it is declared to you, and then by obedience to the word of God, find yourself ready when that trump shall sound. It shall sound one of these days, and when it does sound, you ought to be ready to go with the Lord to the city that he has prepared. What a day of coronation that will be. And we look forward to being not only a citizen of heaven, but worshiping at the feet of our God.
Harvest time.
Of today's outstanding gospel message is available to you if you will request it when you write to us at Harvest Time, Box 215, St. Louis, Missouri, 63166, USA. We would be extremely pleased to hear from you this week and to know that you are attending the United Pentecostal Church near you. You'll love the atmosphere of this truth-proclaiming center in your area. Now, in behalf of our General Superintendent, Nathaniel A. Urshan, and the people of the United Pentecostal Church International, this is Hugh Rose saying, God bless you. It was great to be with you today. We will be looking forward to being with you next week.